God in our midst or not? The Israelites, in the midst of the desert, in the midst of their wandering from Egypt on the way to the promised land, tested God. Is God really with us? They were thirsty, and their thirst may be affected their thinking. But they tested God. Even though God had led them out of slavery, even though they had witnessed so many wonderful things that God had done in their life, they still questioned. They still tested. They still kept looking behind them instead of looking forward. Is God really here? There's a wonderful old gospel song, and its title is something like, "I don't believe God led us this far to leave us now." How far has God led you in your life? Has God been with you in the past? Is God with us now? Did God lead us this far to leave us now? The Israelites are very much like us, human beings. It's so easy to want the security, the certainty, even if security and certainty come at the cost of slavery. You may have heard some of the stories about people who've spent a long time in prison, and they're finally released back into the community as free men, but they can't get used to it. They're so used to the routine, the three squares a day, that they actually commit a crime so they can go back to prison, because at least in there they knew what to expect. Freedom is very frightening. Being the children, the free people of God, can be frightening and challenging, as well as exciting. It is a journey, but it's not always certain. The Israelites tested God. They turned to Moses, but Moses trusted God. Moses knew that the Lord is his rock. He knew he hadn't gotten where he had gotten without the Lord. And so Moses turned to the Lord in faith, not having the answer, but being opened to God's presence with them right now. And God provided water from the hard rock, a beautiful prefiguration of the cross. The wood touched the hardness, and the water flowed, just as the wood of the cross touches the hardness of so many human hearts. And the water that flows from our Savior's side washes us and saves us. The Samaritan woman also is thirsty. She came to the well seeking water, but it's obvious she was a woman seeking much more in her life. The problem is she was looking in the wrong places. She obviously was seeking love. But as the song says, looking for love in all the wrong places and too many faces. But she was a seeker, and Jesus responded to her. We're all here because we're all seeking. We're all here not because we're complete, but because we're all thirsty too. Every human being is thirsty. We're all seeking more. The only difference between a sinner and a saint is the saint learns where to look, where the sinner keeps looking in the wrong direction. Saint Augustine has a beautiful prayer. He says, "Lord, we are made for you, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." There's a part of us that will always be restless, because until we're with the Lord, we're incomplete. There's a deep thirst. The trouble is, it's so easy to try to fill that thirst with the artificial drinks, the artificial ingredients, the artificial idols that can never totally satisfy us. And it seems the more we pour in, the thirstier we get. The people went to Jacob's well, and they received water that did quench their thirst for a while. Jacob's well is symbolic of the first covenant, the covenant with the chosen people of Israel that would satisfy them for a while. But they still had a thirst. They still knew there was more to come. A Messiah was still to come who would give them more, who would quench a deeper thirst, who would give them living water. Our world continually advertises that this product or that product will satisfy this deep thirst. If you only buy this product, you will be happy. If you own this car, I always wonder, they come out with a new improved version. Be interesting if they came out, well, don't buy our product right now, but next year we'll improve it, and then you should buy it. Always changing, that somehow, if you get this, it will make you happy. The advertisers change the colors of the can. Pepsi's got a new color can. Coca-Cola changes the formula, then changes it back again. Budweiser changes from frogs to lizards. Keep changing it. But as much as we change it, it's not the stuff that ultimately satisfies us. Because there's only one real thing, and it's not Coca-Cola. As St. Paul says, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Christ is the living water that satisfies our deepest thirsts. The Israelites were seeking the deep quenching of their thirst and an end to their journey to the promised land. They wandered 40 years. There are a number of theories on why did it take them so long to get from Egypt to the promised land. One theory holds that it's the men refused to ask for directions. Another theory is God was testing them. But I think we heard in today's first reading from the book of Exodus the real reason why it took them so long. They were testing God. They were testing, is God really with us? This is too good to believe. Why is God leading us? Why did God lead us out of slavery? They had to keep looking back instead of looking forward. So it took them a very long time to get there. Lent is our season to enter into this journey. The 40 days. The days when we join with our elect as they prepare to enter the Easter sacraments. We join with them. We give up. We abstain. We fast so that we might get better in touch with what are the real hungers. What do we really thirst for? And what can we live without? There's so much we can live without that we think is so necessary. People who survive tornadoes and other natural disasters, it's always amazing to hear them. Often they thank God. Even though they lost all their stuff, they can still thank God that they have what's important, their family, their loved ones, the gift of life itself. I spoke with a couple in our parish who lived through Hurricane Andrew down in Homestead. And they said, interesting, when the hurricane came through, it knocked down all the fences in their neighborhood. And they said, you know, we discovered we had neighbors we never knew we had. Sometimes we have to give up our fences, our things that keep us separated. Our elect are preparing for the Easter sacraments. The sacrament of baptism is entering into the water, the living water, the water that is a symbol of life, but is also a symbol of death. Water kills and creates. And in baptism, We celebrate a death to ourselves, a death to all those limited things that we hold on to as ultimately satisfying, to let go of them, bring them down, and as we come back up through the water, to come up risen in Christ, knowing that we are joined with the body of Christ and with what ultimately satisfies, the ultimate thirst quencher. These baptismal gowns that we wear remind us of our Christian dignity, but also remind us that we have died to ourselves. And at our funeral, a white pall covers the casket to remind us that we have died to self, to the limited things of life, but we have risen to everlasting life. Today we celebrate the scrutinies with our elect. They will be called forward to reflect on their own lives, and we will pray for them and with them. But unlike the Israelites, we won't test God, but we will test ourselves. We'll pause to ask for some directions, to help us go in the right direction so that we just don't wander in circles, that we don't keep going back to Egypt, but we keep moving towards the promised land. We examine our conscience and we acknowledge ourselves as sinners. We keep going back to the slavery of sin. We keep taking the artificial substitutes to quench our thirst and fail to drink in what our Lord gives us as living water. And today, just like the Samaritan woman, we will be asked to look deeper into our own hearts and into our world, to look at the water and not just see water, but see living water, to look at each other and not just see differences of race or gender or even religious differences, but see Christ, who breaks down all the barriers, to look beyond theological nitpicking about where and when and how to worship, and instead just worship. And like the Samaritan woman, we will all be called to take what the Lord has to give us, to be nourished with the living water, with the bread that does God's will, and to go forth and to share the good news of what Christ has done for us with our neighbors, to share with the world that indeed Jesus is the Savior of the world.